It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak's here. So is Larry Magan from CBS Radio. Mike Elgin from Nairobi. We have lots to talk about, including some big announcements from BlackBerry, Microsoft. We've got earnings reports. It's going to be a great TWiT. Stay tuned. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 390, recorded January 27th, 2013. Girly Pockets. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter TWiT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell last year's gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, MacBook, iPhone, Galaxy S, or other smartphone is worth at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. We've got a good panel here. No, I dare say great panel, starting with John C. Dvorak to my right.
Hey.
ChannelDvorak.com, and of course, NoAgendaShow.com.
Hey.
That's good.
NoAgendaShow.com?
NoAgendaShow.com, where I shall soon be a knight.
Yeah, that's what you said once before.
What is it, $1,000?
Yeah.
I'm not giving you $1,000.
Why not?
I'll give, well, because.
You can't, there's no deals on the knighthoods.
There's no deals?
You can get a higher, more expensive
What's
one.
What's more than that?
Oh, there's a bunch of kind of other kinds of knights, $12 knights or $1,212. Those are good. A lot of people, those.
Those are good. A lot of people?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It's really interesting to see.
You get a pin? Well, I think we have enough rings left over unless you're 9.5 and get you a ring.
A ring? You ran out of 9.5s?
Yeah.
It's like they're vast.
We're not doing rings anymore. Now it's a little coated pin.
I'd rather have a ring.
No, I know, but you can go out with a...
And it lets people know?
Yeah, everyone can say, well...
In the morning. In the morning.
Exactly.
Also here, Larry Magid.
Hey.
Of CBS News, not CBS Interactive. Let's make that clear.
CBS News, the real
Did
CBS.
Les Moonves call you?
Please make that clear.
Did Les Moonves call you and say no more of this stuff on the Hopper and Aereo?
Yeah, how is that? What do you think of the Hopper, Larry?
I'm actually getting mine tomorrow.
Can you review it?
Yes, for CBS.
So why
News,
can CBS Radio do it, but not? Well, we're going to talk about it because there's more news on that one.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
You don't want to know the rules.
You'll find out soon.
Yeah, really.
Also with us from Kenya, from Nairobi.
Darkest Africa.
I almost said that, and I decided not to. Actually.
I said it instead.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Elgin.
Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty dark.
It is dark.
See, and the stars are out.
It's good to have you, Mike.
That's right. Thank you. If you send me money, I'll send you a pin as well. So,
yeah, $1,222. I could probably get a pin from a lot of people. For that price.
$1,212.
Hey, we've got a giant studio audience here, swollen beyond the norm by a group from Canberra Grammar. And why are you here?
All together.
They're looking at each other. We don't know. Disneyland was closed? All right, I'm going to try something. Watch this. Aussie. That was pathetic.
Well, they did it.
They did do it, though.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to do that with Verve? They were surprised. They didn't expect. If I did it again, if I went, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
There we go.
So this is a Jewish school?
Oy.
What does that mean? I don't know, but I know when you do that, that's Aussie is Australia, obviously.
Yes.
I don't know what the oi is for.
Oi.
Oi. Oi. All right, so I want to thank Joshua Brentano and the guys at G4, who I don't know how they got this through. As you know, this week was the last Attack of the Show episode.
Yeah, I heard that.
So G4, and I just quickly fill you in on the history. You know, we did Tech TV. You were part of Tech TV.
I heard that.
You were your show Silicon Spin was
spinning.
One of the highlights of Tech TV.
I don't know about that.
But we did Tech TV from 98 to 2004.
Right. I was kicked out in 2002, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. We stopped doing it in 2002? Mm-hmm. Seems like you were there the whole time.
No.
I didn't know that.
They ousted me.
They ousted you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they
first they waited until I went on vacation.
And then they said,
then
don't
they
come back?
The show. Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's the way they operated.
Oh, it's Augie, not Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy? Am I supposed to say Augie, Augie, Augie? Anyway, that's another story for another day. So in 2004, shortly after John left, they sold, the channel went right downhill, and they sold it to Comcast, who moved it to L.A., fired me, fired Patrick, fired a bunch of the staff, but kept a few of the...
I thought they offered you the job in L.A.
No.
Oh.
Neither,
too big. I could see why.
You know what it was? I'm convinced it was I was too old. They kept Kevin Rose. They kept Sarah Lane. They kept everybody under 30. They kept nobody over 30.
You should have sued them. This is an opportunity waiting to happen.
Yeah, who cares? Did I care?
No. It's been fun.
So 8 years. So they kept the Screensavers name for a few years. But eventually, with Kevin and Sarah, and then Kevin Pereira, Olivia Munn, eventually decided to call it Attack of the Show. I don't know
what that means. Did those people stay on knowing that you had been screwed out of your job? They should have walked out in a huff.
Yeah, just like everybody left CNET. So, all good things must come to an end. 8 years down the road, Attack of the Show now is being canceled, as is everything on G4 because they're turning it into the Esquire channel. Oh, but thought it was very. This is serious. They did a deal with Hearst and Esquire magazine. They're going to make this the Esquire
it's
magazine.
Be terrible.
Well,
come on,
cable television.
The Esquire
sucks.
Channel.
In any event. The executive producer of Attack of the Show, who was Joshua Brentano, who was our producer, one of our producers at the Screensavers, contacted me and Patrick and said, we'd like to, on the last episode of Attack of the Show, record something and with the idea that the whole thing was a bad dream.
And you actually kept on with this idea? Because you dreamed it up.
You want to see it?
Did it actually get aired?
Yes. This was the very end of the very last Attack of the Show on Wednesday. Let me see if I can play this. This is from G4's channel. They have lots of bandwidth. Oh.
Yeah, they got crap loads of bandwidth, obviously.
I don't know if it's them or me. Let me refresh the page. Let's try it one more time. Maybe our bandwidth really is bad here. Loading video. There we go.
There you go.
Oh, now we got to watch some ad. What is this?
Turn it off. You're giving people free advertising.
This is like some game. All right. Do you mind waiting 30 seconds for this?
Yeah.
I should have explained the story while this ad was on. Anyway, so that was, I thought, very gracious of them because we poked a little fun at them. Now, there's references in here, which nobody's going to get, to stuff that's from Attack of the Show. But you'll see because there's a little montage, kind of a farewell to the Attack of the Show. They're playing it now. I never watched G4, so I didn't know any of these. They had to explain them to me. But there's a little montage here. This is like moments from the show.
This is done terribly. What's all this flat black flashing?
Well, that's just it's a montage.
Leah, you okay?
I just had the weirdest dream.
What happened?
My mouth tastes like hot dogs. I dreamt that Tech TV was sold to a cable company that had a name that was an obsolete Apple processor, and they moved us all down to Los Angeles.
L.A.? That's actually worse than hot dog mouth.
And then we had to stop doing tech news, and we started doing this kind of pop culture nightmare gallery.
Nightmare gallery?
My Uncle Ted was there.
That's
and we were scary. All eating pie.
Pie.
Ugh, never mind. It's just too weird. I can't explain it. What do you think a dream like that means?
Who cares? It's time to go to work.
What's a hype machine? Did we ever review that?
Now, this is the screensaver.
You can think about it on the way in. Come on. It's about time to start the show.
The Tech TV building in downtown San Francisco.
I'm getting the material.
Look at, there's flying cars. So we know if they hadn't killed Tech TV, we'd have flying cars by now.
You
so
know,
anyway, so that's the end of that.
I smell Emmy.
What does she smell like?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it smells like hot dogs. So
that's some acting you had there.
That was good acting.
Actually,
huh?
I thought Norton did a pretty decent job.
Yeah. Well, they edited that.
I like the shirt.
Yeah. The shirt's from the screensavers.
That's not entirely unlike the closing of Lost, is it?
I think that they were playing off on
Newhart. Yes, they were dead all the time.
No, on Newhart. Remember, Bob wakes up in bed with Emily and said it was all a bad dream? And that came from Dallas. Wasn't Dallas like Bobby's
dream?
So you
stole from someone who stole from someone.
Don't look at me. I stole nothing. They gave me a script and I read it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just acting here.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was gracious of them to do that.
At this point, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Esquire channel.
I think at this point, they're looking for work.
Yeah, that's
what has probably happened.
I produced that great ending.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was nice. So that's that. Enough for the self-promotion. Let's get to the tech news. What do you say? You're going to be in Barcelona, right, Mike, for a Mobile World Congress that's coming up in 2 weeks?
That's right. I've never been, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
I hear that the big story is the Samsung Galaxy S4.
Yes. That will be the big story that we know about, and there's probably going to be lots and lots of other smaller big stories. It's a gigantic show, and I always kick myself every year that I miss it. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. Plus, I'm looking forward to Barcelona,
that's always great.
Nice food.
But I almost feel like the this show is almost more important now because mobile is so important, more important than CES. The smartphone announcements at CES were scant. There was a Sony. There was some throwaway stuff. But this is where all the new
smartphone was at CES. Remember that the UA, the big 6-inch screen,
right?
That was at CES, the largest phone.
The largest phone ever.
Exactly. You could use it as a ping pong paddle.
But you have to. But it has Chinese spyware on it because it's from Huawei.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it was big.
I like the idea of using it as a ping pong paddle.
Yeah.
You have to use the Chinese grip.
Is there an app for that?
That would be perfect. You don't need the handle.
Right.
Because the Chinese grip, you hold the thing. And
you can make an app for this.
So the ball and the table are an app.
The S4 rumors sound for one thing, an 8-core processor. Dual 4-core processor.
Oh, that's important.
Just what you need in a phone.
Yeah.
It's the Exynos Octa. How about that? It will be 5 inches, not 5.5. The Note 2 is a little bit bigger. And the Huawei's even bigger still. But 5 inches seems to me about right.
You say that.
Well, I like my Note 2, but I think 5's kind of a nice...
It's too big.
You still think it's too big?
I think 4.5 inches would be ideal. Apple should do a 4.5-inch iPhone.
Not going to happen. You know that, right? The rumors are, and I'm sure this is true, the 5S will look exactly like a 5. That's what Apple does. We're 2 years off from a larger iPhone.
Well, they take their time.
Unless Apple does what I say they should have done all along, which is to make an iPad mini with a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that'd be a great product?
Hello, Mom.
Yeah.
Giant
the iPad
phone.
Mini is too big, in my opinion, as it is. So I'd like to see a smaller iPad mini. Yeah, because I can't fit it in my pocket. I can fit a Nexus 7 in my pocket, but not an iPad mini.
You can fit a Nexus. What kind of pockets do you have?
He's Mr. Big Pockets.
No, normal.
Like Captain Kangaroo.
I can fit a Nexus 7 in my pocket. I don't normally carry it in my pocket, but I still think the iPad mini is too big.
So something that could fit in your pocket. So it would be tablet-like, fit in your pocket, have fun. You mean you're talking about the Galaxy Note 2 is what you're talking about. That is 5.5 inches. I love the Note 2. I think it's a great phone, yeah.
The problem from the market perspective of these gigantic phones is that they're really cool for men and larger people. But for some women who may have smaller hands or people, younger people have smaller hands, it's really that there's kind of a limited number of people who can deal with a phone that big.
It's not that big. I mean, inches is not. You don't need a monster hand to hold a 5-inch phone. I don't think. Bring your phone out, Leo.
I don't have it with me. It's too big.
We got some kids in the audience.
I should
put it in my pouch here.
Does anyone have a 5-year one of these things?
Burke's running it.
We've got children in the audience. I'm going to challenge Elgin on this.
Who has the smallest hands in our audience?
Who's the youngest kid here?
Oh, it doesn't have to be young. It could be somebody small.
Oh, I want someone with a small hand. Anyone? Come on, volunteers. There's a kid in the back. Come on. Hey, lady.
Come here.
Come on, get up
so
here.
I'll launch a notepad app. How about that?
Okay, here she comes. We got her. Right.
Somebody with small head.
She claims to have small hands. Hold this against your head.
First of all, have her hold it against her head just to see.
Oh, God, that thing's huge.
Can you hold it?
I love it when they say that.
That's what she
said.
That's
the reaction I've always wanted.
And, in fact, she did.
Not your phone.
So, okay.
Do you feel like that's too big?
Can you hold it against your ear?
I mean, I could, but it literally is almost the size of my head.
But it's the hand part that we're challenging.
Now, could you, if you had to type on this, do you think you'd...
I would actually use it with both hands.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
That's what you do anyway.
That's kind of good.
But if you're texting and driving, that's not really...
Oh, you're not supposed to be texting and driving.
It's a safety
feature. Come
on. You're not allowed to... Where are you from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Thank you for visiting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And what's your name?
Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Are you here with somebody who's a geek?
I moved here, actually.
All right.
And yes.
Well, there he is.
She moved here for a geek.
He's blushing over
so
there.
So I don't think it's...
She could hold it.
She could hold it.
But it would be difficult to use with one hand.
The question
you're
is,
right. Would you want to use
I don't use my phone with one hand now.
Right. But mine doesn't either. Right. I have normal.
Come on, Mike, defend yourself.
The question isn't whether she would hold it. The question is whether she would buy it. And I don't think she would.
Would you buy a phone that
big? Darn big?
What do you carry now?
You've changed it.
What do you carry now, sir?
I have the 4.
The iPhone 4.
Yes.
And that's tiny. That's a 3.5-inch screen.
Yes.
You like that size? Is that a good size for you? You'd like a little more.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah, you want to see more.
This? What do you think of that?
We're trying to sell her a phone here.
It would still fit my girl pockets.
Yes.
Girl pockets.
Girl jean pockets.
Is that a euphemism?
Smaller, and that would certainly not fit in my back pocket of girl my pocket. Jeans.
So that would, though. This is a gallon.
But anything would fit in a purse. Do you carry a purse?
But I have a small girl purse.
She has a small girl purse.
Small one.
A clutch.
Yes, exactly.
A little thing.
And that phone would take up so much.
Well, Elgin has a point about what she's going to buy. She won't buy it, but she could use it.
I like it.
So my question, Leo, is having a large phablet or larger phone, did that make you less inclined to use a tablet? You find yourself using your phone at times when you would normally be using a tablet?
The tablet I use is an iPad, unfortunately. So, and this is
Why
Android.
Why is that unfortunate?
Well, because if this had iOS on it, I would probably, I don't know, I suspect I would not use a Mini. I love the Mini, though. The Mini is just, to me, the right size. And that's why I would love to have a phone on it. Then I could eliminate the phones. You're right. You can't pocket a Mini.
And the thing is, you always have your phone with you. And there are times when I've watched Netflix on my phone. There are times when I've read books on my phone. Not because that was my best optimal choice, but it was a one device that I have with me all the time.
Right.
And so if I could have that in my pocket, I don't know. Maybe I would never use the iPad Mini. I do use the iPad Mini occasionally, but I always have that phone with me.
Yeah. Which phone do you carry?
I have the 5, the
iPhone
Apple.
5.
iPhone 5. Yeah. Which is okay. I really like the Galaxy S3.
People get mad at me because they say, well, I don't want that. Well, you don't have to buy that. But I just think there's a market for a larger device. Yeah. Larger screen that has phone capability. I think there's a big market for it. And I do think this is one of the reasons Apple's struggling. Now, as long as we're talking about Apple, let's talk about Apple's stock price, which took a dive this week, dramatic dive, despite the fact that Apple came out with the record earnings this quarter.
Well, we've seen this phenomenon with Microsoft from about the year 2000 to the present. Microsoft for investors has been essentially dead money. And
this is down from $700 to $439.
Yeah, it's getting down to where it belongs.
It belongs there, you're saying?
I think it needs. It's there's not gonna
because nothing big's gonna come along.
I don't think so. The television set will be the last gasp, and I think they'll actually get bad publicity for the television set if and when they bring it out. Because there's going to be all these naysayers. I mean, like Larry and Mike over here. They're going to go on and on about how the thing is dumb or whatever. But I don't think they're going to be alone. And I think it's going to hurt the stock. And I think they're worried about that.
You know, in some ways you might be right, because Apple's stock price is about where it was exactly a year ago. So mm-hmm. this whole thing, this run up to $700 was this year, and might be an anomaly, might be overblown. And now it's back to where it should be. It's not, you know, their market.
It's not cheap.
Their price to earnings to $10.
10.
Yeah.
Price to earnings is 10.
10, not dollars, just 10.
Yeah,
what you're telling me. Don't say bucks.
What's the peg?
What's the peg?
It was interesting. They came out with a good earnings
report. Price to earnings growth. I mean,
any other company would be thrilled to have that earnings report.
Yeah.
And their stock went down by 10% before the night ended. It was down by 10%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're punishing what was actually, by most standards, I wouldn't mind if my revenue had just gone up a little bit in 2012 over 2011. A lot of people's revenue went down. A lot of companies' revenue went down. But Wall Street doesn't think that way. They were, you know, they're looking for continuous growth. And I agree. I don't know how Apple's going to continue to grow. What do they have in the pipeline? You know, bigger phones, smaller phones, iPad maxis. I mean, what just reinventing something that they've already created isn't enough to make this a company that's just going to grow through the roof. And I'd love for Apple TV to be a great product, but I'm having trouble imagining what it's going to be that's going to blow me away. I mean, who knows? If it's just a great big iPad on the wall, forget it.
There are two factors that I think are really interesting. People talk about the TV as if it's a question of hardware. And of course it is. If they do a TV, they'll also have a box like they do now, but hopefully a better one than the one that they have now, because you can't just, they can't do their big living room play by relying on everybody buying this gigantic TV set from Apple. That's mm-hmm. not going to happen. They're going to have a TV set plus a thing that does what the TV set does for your Sony TV. But the real play is with content. I think Apple is in a better position than any other company to essentially coerce and force Hollywood to bend to its will, which is really what we need in order to break away from this cable thing nightmare that we're in, where you have to subscribe to all these channels just to watch one show. And you know, people want to watch what they want to watch and want to be able to watch anything, anytime. And whoever gives them that is going to win lots and lots and lots of money. And Apple's in the best position to coerce Hollywood into that type of an arrangement. So that's one thing. The other thing that people don't appreciate enough, I think, is China. Right now, people say, well, China's succeeding in Apple. Apple's the main one saying that. But they're not really. They're the number six smartphone company in China. People don't realize this. They're way down on the list. First it's Samsung, then Lenovo, Huawei, ZTE, and the CoolPad, and then Apple. So they're not even on the biggest carrier. The world's biggest carrier is, what is it, China Mobile. They're not even on China Mobile yet. Like, they you know, they could double their handset sales once they really get into China.
Except that, and this is, I mean, I don't know if it matters what Wall Street thinks, but this is one of the things that's puzzling about the stock price. It looks like they're about to make a deal with China Mobile, which will open 700 million more customers to them, that they are, in fact, making a less expensive iPhone for that market, which you need to do because it's a very expensive phone. They call it the iPhone Math. We don't know if that's a bad Chinese translation or if that's the name of it. Mm-hmm. But this less expensive iPhone will be selling this year into China in all likelihood. So they will, in fact, be doing well in China. I think one of the things that Wall Street didn't like is that the margins are lower. They're still very good. They're like 38%, but they're lower. And the Math will certainly, because it's a less expensive phone, have lower margins. But they're going to be big in China. They're selling the iPad like crazy in China.
You know, this is funny because I was thinking about this because the Chinese love the Apple iPhone. It's a prestige item. But the Chinese also steal intellectual property. It's such an extreme that I think they're just walking into a buzzsaw.
Right.
Yeah, you'll have an iPhone. But it's not
going to be an Apple iPhone.
You know, well, it probably will be close to it, but it won't be. You're right. But it'll say Apple on the back, and that's all that counts.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're already iPhone clones.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been around since the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think now it's going to go nuts.
Look at cumulative sales of the iPhone, iPod, and iPad. 369 million iPods in circulation. 319 million iPhones in circulation. 121 million iPads in circulation. These are successful products. Yeah. And that does support your contention, Mike. They do have clout. Those are all media devices, right?
They do, and I suspect that to a certain extent, Wall Street is being influenced by people like us, because people like us are always saying we need more innovation. We want a holographic display. We want a flexible, foldable thing. We want something totally radically new. And if Apple doesn't deliver that, then they're going to fail. But I don't really think that's what makes Apple successful. They did do some innovation a few years ago on the iPhone. But lately, they've just been focusing on quality. They were the first with Bluetooth 4.0. The screen quality is amazing. The camera quality is amazing. I'm not aware of a phone other than the iPhone 5 that has that quality of a camera.
Get
and
ready,
a screen.
The Samsung Galaxy S4, 13 megapixels. Nokia is rumored to be putting PureView into the Lumia, which means a 41 megapixel sensor. They're going to be lapped because they can only do one phone a year.
Look, the reality is in 2007, when they announced the iPhone in 2007, I looked at that thing and I said, wow, this is blowing BlackBerry away.
Absolutely.
BlackBerry was the incumbent. Today, when I look at the iPhone 5 against the Galaxy S3,
all
the phones, it looks good. It's a good phone, but it's not blowing anybody away. And the question is, can Apple succeed as a company that just does also good products, or does it need to have these revolutionary products in order for it to succeed long term? And it hasn't had a revolutionary product since it came out with the iPad. Since then, we have better iPads, smaller iPads, but nothing revolutionary.
I'll tell you, though, the lesson of CES this year was there is no innovation anywhere. There's nothing exciting going on.
The economy's in the toilet.
But not only that,
depressed.
I think everything that was going to be invented has been invented. I think we're at the end.
You and the patent guy, go to work for them.
Yeah, what would be the innovation that would blow us away? What would be an example of something?
I think they're stretching really hard to find an innovation. That's what wearable computing, Google Glass, is all about. And I think it's a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. Nobody's saying, I only wish I could wear my phone on my head. Nobody's saying
I really believe in the sort of wristwatch thing. I think the big companies
Pebble
are going to do
Pebble. Where is my Pebble? It was supposed to be shipping on the
23rd. Yeah, there you go. There you have
Where the hell is it?
But that's going to be really great when people get in the habit of using voice to interact with their phone through their phone, through their watch. So a lot of people will be talking to their watch to do 80% of what they currently do with their phones. And yeah, it's going to be very Dick Tracy-like, but I really think that's going to be an interesting change in behavior. It'll change calculation about how big your screen is.
There's a lot of phones already watch phones available. If you go to Alibaba,
the IM watch is awful.
There's a ton of them.
And they're awful.
Yeah.
Oh, they're usually a clunker.
I'm skeptical. Yeah, they're clunky. I'm skeptical.
They'll be able to de-clunkify them for two reasons. First, we have Bluetooth 4.0, which has a low battery power mode, so you'll be able to charge them once a week at most. You know, somewhere between once a week, once a month.
De-clunkify.
The e-ink screens will make them thin. So imagine a phone that interacts with your phone, does most of what your phone does, but through the watch, but it's really thin and really light, and you only have to charge it once every 2 weeks. That would be really great.
And by the way, it would have fitness. It would measure your pulse and your blood pressure. And
and they're all measured the same freaking thing.
Exactly.
Because they aren't very good. So they'd be nice if they could measure blood pressure. They can't. It'd be nice if they could measure oxygen, blood oxygen. They can't.
Well, there's one that does blood
one
oxygen.
Did.
You have to touch it. Yeah.
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 Most of them, it's just pulse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's excited about Google Glass. Google Glass is not so much about the eyewear. The stuff that you can do with software and sensors and all that stuff with Google Glass can be applied to most other types of wearable technology, including wrist technology. So if you can talk to your eyeglasses and like you get contextual information on your glasses, you can do it on a wristwatch. I think more people would wear a wristwatch than those goofy glasses.
By the way, somebody made a site called Is Pebble Shipping? Because I was an early backer and I supposedly they shipped on the 23rd. According to ispebbleshipping.com, fewer than 500 have been shipped as of today. So,
but you're on the waiting list.
I'm on the list.
Think about the positive side.
I don't want to sound like John C. Dvorak.
You're sounding like me, and Elgin is sounding like you.
I know. What's going
on?
When
did he become such a booster?
I just feel like we kind of...
He's in Africa, floating around, living the life of Riley, and now he's like an optimist wearing rose-colored glasses. Are they rose-colored, Mike?
Google glasses.
They're Google glasses.
By the way, so Sergey, I guess, was caught in New York wearing the glasses
in the subway.
Did
you see Sergey Brin in the subway? It's actually a great story. The blogger,
the story that Sergey Brin is taking the subway. That's the story in itself.
He's got at least two jets.
He's pretty hard to recognize. Well, he's not going to take a jet from northern Manhattan down to downtown.
There he is.
I think he robbed a bank. The guy's wearing a black watch cap, a black turtleneck. He might as well wear black gloves, and he's wearing Google Glass.
Yeah, well, that's the giveaway. If he didn't have the glass on, the guy wouldn't have spotted him because he just looks like some punk that's going to probably mug you. It doesn't look good.
It's scary. But that's looking. Look at the woman to his right. She's pretending she doesn't know him.
He doesn't.
That's his wife.
He's like anybody. He's like anybody else is fairly famous. He wants to wander around Manhattan without being harassed by a bunch of groupies.
So he gets accosted by Noah Zirkin, who's a blogger. And he did say, "Can I take your picture?" And Sergey said, "Yes." They talked. Apparently, Noah had worked a little bit on the glass project, so he knew a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe busted. The whole thing was rigged. It may have been a publicity stunt for all we know with that new information.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It does sound like a setup, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So the other kind of, I think, maybe valuable data point from the Apple quarterly results is that they can't sell Macs either. That Mac sales are down, was it 20%?
How about upgrading the thing?
Well, no, but I think, that, remember, we've been saying PC sales down, and people were blaming Windows 8. I think now this extra data point means maybe people aren't buying PCs at all.
I've written about this numerous times, and my complaint is that there's no reason to buy a new PC. The old PCs work fine. There's no new software that you need to upgrade your PC for. The whole thing
is done.
Morbid. It's a replacement market that was predicted for 1993.
Now, Apple said in the quarterly call, "Oh, it's not that people weren't buying them; it's just we couldn't make them fast enough." That's bogus.
Yeah, that's baloney. Yeah.
That's baloney. I can't believe they even said that.
So my big question is whether Apple is going to come out with a touchscreen Mac. I've been playing around with a variety of Windows 8 devices with touchscreens, and some of them are actually pretty good. I was very negative on Windows 8 until I started getting some of these touchscreen laptops and other devices.
Really? You like this stuff?
I actually am beginning to like the idea of touching the screen of a laptop. I'm still not big on the tablets.
But I don't mind touching the laptop, but I still don't like Windows 8. Do you like Windows 8?
I don't like Windows 8 per se. I'm saying I wonder about a touchscreen Mac, whether that they're going to have to go that route, given the fact that every other laptop on the market by next year is going to be touchscreen, and whether Apple's going to have to go ahead and do touchscreen.
They're absolutely going to do that. You can tell by all the changes they've been making to the operating system. They've been adding all this stuff to make it more touch friendly, and the way they reversed the scrolling, and they added the whole launch pad thing. That's the launch pad is a touch user interface. They're absolutely going to do it. I mean, I'm already touching my laptop. Nothing happens, but it's just a habit of using my.
Right. No, that's true. If you use an iPad for any amount of time, you start swiping pages.
Yeah, I know.
You saw the video of the girl trying to swipe the pages in a Newsweek?
Yeah.
Little kid.
Yeah.
On a printed magazine?
Yeah.
I keep
she didn't understand how does this paper work, Daddy?
It works. You picked it up and move it to the other side.
I don't understand it.
I think she was an idiot.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, but I think there's more to talk about. Microsoft's quarterly results also out, Google's quarterly results. Where is the innovation coming from? Maybe you guys can point to it. I don't think it's wearable computers. I don't think it's touch screens. There's got to be something somewhere lurking that will get us all excited about technology again.
Vine.
All right, I'll talk about Vine. I actually like Vine. I played with Vine quite a bit.
Vine.
Vine. Vine. Are you playing with Vine in Nairobi?
Absolutely, it's fantastic. It's actually for sharing the crazy reality of living in Nairobi. It's really good for that. I've been going nuts with this.
That's
thing.
Because you got about 6 seconds to make your video before you get robbed.
We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk about Vine in just a second. You're watching This Week in Tech with Mike Elgin in Nairobi from MikeElgin.com and Google Plus and Computer World.
Yes, Computer World and a few others.
From CBS Radio News, Mr. Larry Magid, and from NoAgendaShow.com, John C. Dvorak. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. The post is going up. Go ahead. You can take a walk.
Yes, I heard this.
Thank you. Now you can take a walk. So are you going to go get no stamps? No, you're not, because you use Stamps.com, right? You print stamps on demand whenever you need postage with your computer and your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special links. You're a Stamps.com. You are a Stamps.com user, I hope. Stamps.com is fantastic. We use it here. You got the scale. You plop the letter on the scale. It always gives you exactly the right postage for the letter or the package. Prints right on the envelope if you want. You don't even have to print stamps. No. It prints right on the envelope with your logo, your return address. It even pulls the address from your QuickBooks, your address book. If you sell on eBay, Amazon, Etsy, PayPal, one of those sites, it'll pull the address from there. So if you're, you knit a little hat, you put it on the scale with the package, it prints out the label. It even sends an email out to the recipient saying your package is on its way. Here's the tracking number. It just is great. You even get discounts you can't get at the post office, up to 21% on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. Stamps.com. Now here's the pitch. Go there right now. Take a look. See if it's what you want to do. It's not for the casual mail user. It's for the pro mailer. This is serious stuff. 2 billion in letters and packages have been mailed using stamps.com now. You see the offer, $80 bonus value, $25 in postage. We can do better than that. Why don't we click that microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter the offer code TWIT, T-W-I-T, and that goes from $80 to $110, $55 in postage you can use over the life of first few months of your stamps.com account. That beautiful new digital scale, the aluminum scale they're sending out now, it's just gorgeous. $5 supply kit, 4-week trial. All of that just because you said TWIT. Give it a try. I think if you do a lot of mailing, if you want a pro mailing solution, this is it. Stamps.com. We are so glad to have them, not only as an advertiser on our shows, but frankly to have them to use. We have two accounts. So Vine is a... we're going to jump all over the place on this show today. Vine is a new iPhone app. I wish they had an Android version, but I had to break my iPhone out to use it. That lets you take bacon-flavored vodka. Where'd you find that?
It's one of the many things you have in the back that you probably drink.
That's awesome.
Awesome? Are you nuts?
Bacon-flavored vodka.
How is that awesome? This sounds horrible.
Well, let's open it up. I'm going to take this. So these are, we're watching Vines. This is VinePeak.com, which shows the most recent Vines. It's an iPhone app that has a kind of a weird feature. By the way, Twitter just bought them.
Yeah.
So this is a Twitter product. And the idea is you open the application, and when you tap the screen, it's taking video. So what you could do is just press it for 6 seconds, take a 6 second video. But mostly what people, which is what this guy did.
Just do blip, blip, blip.
Mostly what people do are animations. They do little, you can actually edit it. I found it very hard to do.
The editing part.
Yeah, well, because you can't go back. You can't fix it. It's just the way it is.
Right,
it either works or it doesn't work. And so I have a lot of bad. Now, here's a guy doing it.
So the question on my mind is, why would anybody have a pineapple fruit bar? It's not the normal. You'd get orange or lemon or...
Try it. See if you like it. It's really good with bacon-flavored vodka.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, see? This is a taste experience for you, John. You're opening new horizons.
Huh.
Oh, my God. That smells horrible.
I'm sure it does.
Oh, my God. So you love Vine. You're a Vine fan, Mr. Elgin.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. The secret to getting me to like it was that it's not a replacement for video. It doesn't replace the videos you've been doing. It replaces the photographs. So it's just about as easy as taking a picture.
Did you just do a Vine, Larry Magid?
I did. I put you guys on Vine. I Vined you guys.
Fantastic.
Yep, there you are. And for the next 4 hours, I'm going to look at Dvorak and Laporte.
Well, that's the other thing I should mention. It records audio and it loops, so it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Right.
Very annoying.
It took me 15 minutes to figure out it wasn't live video because, you know, I actually did one by walking my dog, and it actually looked like we were just out for a long walk.
Forever walking your dog.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I can't show it here because I don't have the links to some of my Vines, but it's pretty.
The good news is that when you send a link, the sound, in my experience, is off by default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
by default. So if you're in the office or something. And then you have to turn it on to listen.
That's how
so
it should be.
So that de-annoyifies it a little bit. But it's super easy to take a multi-scene video of less than 6 seconds and post it to Facebook and Twitter and also the Vine website. And it's super easy to watch. So it's just as easy pretty much as Instagram. Mm-hmm. But it's video. So it's a little bit more – it's actually a lot more engaging.
Here's a Vine that Chad Johnson did.
OMG, Twitter reinvented the animated GIF.
Yeah, basically that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, 6 seconds.
So you think this is going to go beyond the, you know, beyond the we're all kind of playing with it right now.
I think if
a
think
year from now people are going to be using this product.
It would have if it weren't for the fact that there's so many networks now. Social networks. You don't need another one.
Larry is about to stumble onto that. 1 year from now, we will not even mention this product.
I think you're probably right. Yeah.
If it
had come out before Twitter, yeah. Here's one I did. Let me turn on the sound so you can hear it of going on the radio. So they just Leo loop LaPorte. Over and... I don't know what that is. That's something else.
That's terrible.
That's the other. That's another Vine I've got going. Let me close all the windows. All right, here
Leo
we go.
I'm going to disagree with you, John. I think this, not necessarily Vine, but I think this behavior of insta-capture video and then posting it is here to stay. It's just so easy, and it's why not? You know, like if you're going to take a picture of your food or picture of your dog or cats or whatever it is that people want to take a picture of, why not make it a video? It's just as easy as a photograph. So I think this is going to be a...
You know, I admit that I wasn't an early fan of Twitter 140 characters, and I've come to love it. But the idea of a 6 second video, I haven't.
Show this Nick Bilton one. You're showing, Chad's showing some vines. So here's the problem with this. He's showing a flower blooming, right? Really
That's
cool.
Nice.
Except he couldn't use his phone for anything else during the entire time because there's no way to pause a vine. So he had to literally leave the phone on the table for how many days? Taking these vines. I mean, that's all he could do with that phone.
Here was my wife's perspective. She said, this is a photograph right out of Harry Potter. In Harry Potter, all the pictures on the walls are videos. They're looping videos.
Yeah.
And this is what
this
is. It's a photograph that moves. It's a moving photograph. That's all it is. It's not a video. It's a moving photograph.
By the way, there's an app that predates this called Cinegram that does exactly the same thing, even looks the same.
Ah, they stole the idea.
What I'm curious about is Vine's been in beta for some time. I know Kevin Rose has stuff on Vine that's been there for 6 months, even though the product came out a couple of days ago. So I'm wondering who stole what. You know, who came first?
The chicken or the egg.
Chicken or the egg. I like Cinegram, same idea. You can mix pictures and video. It's a little bit more control. There's a lot of Cinegram's neat because what you do is you take a video and you say, just make that part move. And the rest of the video is static, and that part moves.
And the point of that would be?
I don't know. It's like Harry Potter.
Well, you see, the problem with Vine is it's missing half. What we need is Hollywood in Vine, which is good content for Vine. And I think that there will be some creative filmmakers who will figure out how to do a killer 6 second movie.
Wow.
But beyond that, I'm not sure the rest of us are going to have very creative uses of this.
Yeah, I don't think it's for creative use. I think it's like, here's my lunch.
I don't understand Snapchat either, and probably you think Snapchat's stupid, and yet it's huge.
Why would I think
it's huge?
Because it's a dumb idea.
Okay, that's probably one reason.
The idea of Snapchat is you take a picture and it self-destructs in a few seconds. Nobody can ever see it again. And it must be big because
pointless.
Facebook duplicated it.
Huh. Kids like it. Kids like the idea that they can be as goofy as they want.
They
can
take naked pictures of each other, sexting, and then they don't have to worry about it. Now you're talking.
I agree. The first thing my mind leapt to was sexting, but I'm told by the young people,
the youngsters,
that that's what old people think we do with it. We don't.
We do with it.
It's what we would do with it.
They're projecting those little punks.
It's what Randy Zuckerberg said when they introduced Poke. She thought it was all about sexting, but the reality is that there's a lot of fun things you can do with Snapchat, and a lot of kids like it.
They
like
it animated,
and they don't want a permanent record of it. You know, just
then why did they call it Poke?
Maybe this show ought to be on Snapchat with some of the things I'm
What kind of a comment is that?
I'm just kidding.
6 seconds in technology.
If this show were 6 seconds long, I don't know.
6 seconds in technology.
I don't know.
That's a great idea for a syndicated show. 6 seconds. Just boom, show up a bunch of headlines and you're done. I think I'm going to do that. I'm liking it more and more. Now I'm on Elgin's side for a change. I'm all in, Mike.
All right. Apparently, there's quite a bit of graphic imagery on Vine as well.
What
I didn't know
mean?
This. If you search for certain hashtags,
like what,
you could find adult stuff, which is interesting because did not Apple just pull 500px's app because it had the capability, not by default, but you could turn off Safe Search on the website and search for nudes. By the way, 500px
is that the word?
Well, it is, because 500px is a respectable site.
Respectable.
Used by photographers, and sometimes photographers, even respectable photographers, take nudes.
Yes, they like the lines and angles.
But Apple does not like the fact that there are naked people on that website, and even though by default you can't search for them, it pulled the app because it said you shouldn't be able to search for naked people.
Well, when did they become the gatekeepers of all things?
Exactly.
That are...
I find that very offensive. Mm.
But it's also hypocritical because they're deeply in bed with Facebook, and Facebook, as we just were discussing, in fact, Poke and Snapchat are used for sexting. It's a huge problem in a lot of schools around the country, and they don't seem to mind that. I mean, it's really kind of a censorship of convenience.
It's like Marriott, the Marriott hotel chain, which makes a lot of money off of porn videos sold in the hotel.
Yeah.
Mike, I hate to disagree. Sexting is much more of a huge problem in the minds of a lot of adults.
It's us
about kids in school.
That's what we do.
Not that big a problem in school.
That's what we do if we were in school.
Or just sharing it with their
friends. Let me ask the people from Canberra Grammar.
What are they going to do? They're not going to admit
it. Wait a minute. There's no girls. Is it a boys' school? Well, there's probably not a lot of sexting going on then.
Well, let's hope.
Now, was that a homophobic statement?
No, I just said there shouldn't be sexting at all.
At all?
Yeah, right. No homophobic.
But
anything.
This is the problem. There's no data because.
But why would you project that on me, Leo?
You can't. I'm not. I'm sorry. I forget I even said that. You're right. That's the whole point of it. Is we can't. We don't know because it's deleted in a few seconds.
Well, the thing is that I have a I use like you guys probably do too. I use Google Alerts to put in keywords to follow certain types of things, and I have 300 of them. One of them is sexting. And I've had it probably for about 6 months. And since Snapchat got really popular and Poke got really popular, there's a dozen stories a day where teachers are sexting students are sexting each other. And so I think it's a bigger problem than people realize. I'm not surprised that teenagers say, oh, no, nothing's going on. The whole point of it is so that adults don't think that anything's going on. So
I actually know something about this. You know, I co-run ConnectSafely.org, and we do. Yep. We were the first ones. In fact, if you search for tips on sexting, you'll find our tips. We were very early saying.
Hey, I could use some tips on sexting. How would you recommend
tips on sexting?
But the reality is,
they got to show you how to do the lighting correctly.
Yeah, the number of kids who are doing it statistically based on every piece of research, real research that's been done, is maybe 4%. It's happening, but it is not a huge epidemic. It's a huge epidemic in the media because media folks love these stories. But in terms of every time we do any kind of large survey of students, it's a relatively small percentage.
I think, in fact, kids today are less horny than we were.
Go on.
I'll stop there. Let's take a break. When we come back, I find the most offensive movie clip I have ever seen.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
When?
It was this week. It's the Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people. In fact, Wozniak apparently has.
Woz says this isn't how it was. This is a. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. But
nice teaser.
But first, a word from audible.com. Now, I'm sure, Mike Elgin, as you travel around the world, you must be listening to audiobooks. God knows I do. I love it. I actually look forward to long drives, plane flights, because I can listen to my audiobooks from audible.com. I've been a member since 2000.
I literally cannot live without them. And I think I'm one of the few people who's had an Audible account longer than you, Leo. I think I got it first when it was a physical device.
Yeah, they had their own, what was it called, the Auto or something? Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, I love it and need it.
Let me see. When did you – okay, so I'm going to look at my – when my oldest – let me go to my oldest book that I have on here because I think it was February 7th, 2000. When did you join Audible?
It was in 2000 as well. I don't remember the date.
Can't be much earlier than February, my friend.
Well, there's January. There is January.
All right. Well, maybe you win by a month, but we've been members for... That's a long time, 12, 13 years now. And I love it. I have 500-plus books in my library, all of which are accessible through the Audible app on iPhone, Android, or Windows Phone. They now have a Metro app for Windows 8 that looks great. Audible is just, you know, I agree. I'm with you, Mike. I don't know if I would say I couldn't live without it, but boy, life is a lot better when you've got Audible, whether it's working out at the gym, driving to work, driving carpool, washing dishes. I have Audible throughout the house. I listen all the time. And I'm just such a fan of Audible. Right now I'm listening to book two of the King Killer Chronicles. This is with Trey Ratcliffe's recommendation, The Name of the Wind, the second book, because I got so engrossed after 40 plus hours in the first one. I said, I need more. I don't know what I'm going to do, because the third book, he's still writing it. And I'm going to go through a little withdrawal. There are so many great trilogies. There's the Lord of the Rings on here if you want hours and hours of entertainment. I'm going to tell you how you can get two books from the Audible books. Just go to audible.com/twit2. You're going to sign up for the Platinum account. That's a two-book-a-month subscription, which I highly recommend. That's just about right. I'm downloading the new book about Scientology. I can't wait to listen to this. Going Clear. Maybe you've seen this guy, Lawrence Wright, on, you know, all the news networks and all the talk shows talking about this. I can't wait to read this. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you're going to pick two books. You can cancel at any time, pay nothing, but those books are yours to keep forever. The hardest thing about Audible, picking a book. Do you have something you want to recommend, Mike, that you're listening to? What's your book currently? Do you know? Ooh, look at this. This is good. The Real Downton Abbey, The Lost Legacy of Highclere Castle by the Countess of Carnarvon.
God.
That's cool. What do you mean, God? Don't you love Downton Abbey? How can you not love Downton Abbey?
It's boring.
Okay, well, that's one reason. Mike, I don't know if we... Can we hear you? Is he muted?
Yeah. My wife makes me watch Downton Abbey. It's lovely.
You can get it in Kenya?
But one book I'm really excited about is No Easy Day.
I just listened to that.
The Mission to Kill. Yeah, because I just saw Zero Dark Thirty. And
so let me ask you, because No Easy Day is written by one of the members of SEAL Team 6, originally pseudonymously. Now we know who it was. And he talks about a woman who was at the CIA and had the intelligence that it was Osama bin Laden. So you kind of feel like there's this intersection between the movies. I haven't seen the movie yet. Does it jibe with No Easy Day?
Well, I'm not very far into it, so I don't know about No Easy Day yet. But
okay.
I've heard that the movie doesn't exactly jibe with anything, and it was highly fictionalized for dramatic effect.
Bad.
I mean, you really, the movie really centered around that one character,
Jessica Chastain's character.
Exactly. And she's, you know, she's an appealing character on screen and so on. But everything I've read suggests that the number of people who were directly involved was many, many
more
people.
Than that. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to love this. No Easy Day, the firsthand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. It's a lot about SEAL Team 6 training, about the experience of it. For one thing, it's what's amazing. You knew this, John, I think. These guys all have big beards and long hair and a lot of tattoos. They don't look like you would expect.
Bikers.
They look like bikers. It sounds like. I don't know if that's part of the job. They have to be undercover, but they don't look like Marines.
They should be Navy.
Well, Navy. They don't have crew cuts. They're kind of.
Nobody tells them what to do.
Nobody. That's exactly hit the nail on the head. Great book.
That's
highly
exactly
recommend.
It. I think they even pick their own equipment and stuff.
They do
to a very large extent.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Great book. Highly recommend it. Go and find two books. Join Audible, audible.com/twit2. You will not be disappointed. I just think you're going to love it. But it costs you nothing if you don't like it, no problem. All right, so I saw this. Let me play this clip. There are two movies about Jobs coming out. There's the one based on Walter Isaacson's book that's written by Aaron Sorkin. Sony's producing that. This is not that. This is.
This is it?
This is the kid.
Starts at the beginning.
What is
this?
What is this? Oh, this is the Newsweek. This is the clip from the kid trying to kind of read Newsweek. She can do it on an iPad. She's trying to pinch it. This is a kid trying to swipe through Marie Claire. What's fascinating is two-year-olds.
She's just poking away.
No,
I think
she's looking.
Exaggerated.
She's trying to pinch and zoom.
Well, there's a couple of breasts there, and she's a young kid, and there would be some sort of connection.
Oh, all right.
That's what it seems like to me.
That was not the clip I was intending to play, although a very good clip. Thank you, Chad. Is my audio okay? Because it sounded like it was a little bit icky. Let me unplug and plug in again.
I have a...
No, not my voice, but the audio from my computer was a little...
Sounded crappy. Yeah. All right, we're going to try this.
What are you doing? You're going to try some bacon vodka?
Well, you want to.
This show's going downhill fast now.
No, it's a taste.
Oi, oi, oi! Oh, I'm sorry. That was...
You got it backwards.
That was uncalled for. I'm going to turn off this. Can you hear my... Let's try it. Let me play this, see if you can hear my audio.
It's the Industrial Revolution.
All right. So, to set the scene, this is J-O-B-S with a lowercase j. They just showed it at the Sundance Film Festival. This is from Entertainment Tonight, courtesy of Five Star Institute.
And it takes place in the parking garage of Hewlett-Packard, where Steve Wozniak worked at the time.
Right. And Steve Jobs, played by Ashton Kutcher, is trying to convince Woz to build the Apple computer. Here we go.
It's the Industrial Revolution. No more decks. No more mainframes. That changes everything.
That's Jobs.
It's profound. How could you not tell me about this before?
No, I was just working on it for my own.
Exactly. For your own. For you. It's what you wanted. It's what your gut and your instinct wanted. Your big, evolved brain wanted something that didn't exist. And so you just willed it into existence. What do you call the system?
The operating system.
The operating system.
That's what I call it. Yeah, it's just a real-time display of current operations.
You can see what you're working on.
It just makes me angry.
This is going to be hard to watch.
It just makes me angry. First of all, and Woz pointed this out, he said it wasn't that way at all. I wanted to make this thing, if I wanted everybody to have a computer. Jobs, and this is saying, oh, what are you making it for yourself for? The world should have this.
Yes, you selfish.
He said, and I've seen Woz talk about this many, many times. He says, you know, Steve just wanted to make money. That's all Steve cared about. He said, I would come to him, say, look what I just built. And Jobs would say, I can make a business out of that. That's all he cared about. It was Woz who wanted to change the world. This is really, to me, it's offensive.
It's offensive.
In fact, what they have Woz telling Jobs is exactly what HP told Woz.
Right.
So Woz actually, when they built the thing, they went to HP because they owned the intellectual property on stuff. And he said, you own this. Do you want to develop it? And HP said, nobody wants to buy a computer. I mean, it's almost verbatim what Woz was told, not what he said.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad. It's going to be a bust. Here, try this.
Woz says it gets it. This is the bacon vodka.
It's actually not bad.
Oh, you're lying to me now.
No.
I have some king cake vodka.
No.
It tastes like a pig died in it.
No, it doesn't.
So here's...
Well, I'll tell you this. It goes with red vines very well.
Oh, God. What doesn't, though, after all? So Woz says, quote, it's okay to make up a dramatic scene and by the way, here's a picture of Ashton Kutcher pretending to be this. That's the Steve Jobs beauty shot.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even like.
Doesn't look like Steve Jobs, that's for sure.
Yeah, everybody says his uncanny resemblance to Steve Jobs. Noah Wiley looked like Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, it's okay to make up a dramatic scene, said Woz, but it's much better if it sort of happened. And had the meaning portrayed, but this is only one short clip of the movie. This is Woz, by the way. He can't say anything bad about anything. So the entire movie may be very good.
Yeah,
but the
Woz,
initial exposure to the social meaning of a technology revolution went in a very different direction.
You have to read between the lines to find his criticism, but it's in there.
Yeah.
If you want to see something really creepy, they did a publicity stunt with Ashton Kutcher where he's the older, balding Steve Jobs. I guess the easiest place to find that would be on my Google Plus page.
Nice.
About
nicely played,
now.
Sir.
That's very good.
You're learning from Dvorak, aren't you?
Yeah, it's true.
Now when it comes to Google Plus, he's the master.
But they split the photo down the middle and show Steve Jobs' face on the one side and Ashton Kutcher on the other, and it's creepy.
It's worse than creepy. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. That's Cult of Mac. By the way, other stories, related stories. Apparently, Ashton Kutcher has been hospitalized after attempting to eat the same food Steve Jobs ate.
That was a weird story.
That is a weird story.
Yeah.
Kutcher tried a fruit-only diet. We had heard about Jobs turning a little orange after eating only carrots for a long
period
of time. Mm-hmm. The 34-year-old actor had severe pancreatic problems, landed him in the hospital. Pancreas.
It sounds like a publicity stunt. Bogus. I don't believe this. Yeah,
he hurt himself trying to create a reality distortion field. Give me a break.
He bumped right into it. Got a huge lump on his head.
It's from USA Today. That must be true.
Oh yeah.
Well, we don't recommend a fruit only diet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Unless it's apples. You could eat apples all
the time. Yeah, apples all the time. It does sound a little like a publicity stunt. Anyway, I'm going to boycott this movie. If I go see this movie, just how I reacted to that one clip, I will go into cardiac arrest. This movie will really send me.
Which reminds me.
You know, it's one thing.
Did
you forget to take your
pills,
John?
Yes, I did. I was actually invited to a screening today.
To this?
No, it was a screening of another movie.
Well, but, glad it reminded
I forgot
did you miss
to cancel
it?
My list being on the list.
Are you supposed to be there right now?
Yeah.
What's the movie?
I can't remember.
You want to call somebody? You can
No. I can email him.
Maybe they're watching. He's not coming, folks. Let's see. Oh, speaking of Apple, which we seem to be unable not to.
Speaking of.
I can easily go talk about something else.
Well, the agreement between Apple and Google and Intuit and all of these other people, antitrust violation. Now they've deposed Eric Schmidt, who's going to have to testify about all
of
this.
Oh, that's nice.
These companies agreed not to poach each other's employees, and what's illegal is if the employee comes to you. And you say, no, I can't hire you. You work for Apple. That is an antitrust violation. So I think they got the smoking gun on this one.
Hey, I can't be as subtle as Elgin was when I refer you to LarrysWorld.com, where my story. I was trying to figure out how can I do this as smoothly as
possible. Well, first thing is you don't start that way.
Yeah, never apologize.
Start with an apology.
Never apologize.
Yeah, with an apology. But the article's good. It's called Is Apple Losing Its Cool Factor? And I mean, I think part of what this whole phenomenon in sort of the post Steve Jobs era of Apple is how does Apple maintain its cool factor among youth? I actually embedded that Samsung commercial because I thought
they did
a good job satirizing. Yeah.
They have those commercials are one of the reasons I think Samsung's doing so well. They've really done a great job.
They're brilliant.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think they actually hit on something in terms of young people no longer being enamored with the Apple logo, that it has to have the Apple logo on it, which I actually think is healthy. I think we should buy products based on what they do for us and not strictly based on the logo and some cool factor. But I think that that's part of the sea change that we're going through right now.
I think it's always that way, though, isn't it? This is why it's challenging for tech companies, because technology changes so rapidly that the normal cycle of a company, which might be 100 years, is shortened to 5 or 10 years. Microsoft already kind of on the downhill side of its span. Google, even you could make a case.
Microsoft may be going back up. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Apparently, their commercials are doing pretty well. Some of their, not in terms of selling anything, but in just getting some mind share among young people. And, you know, who knows? I don't think the story is told about Microsoft quite yet.
I look at the Microsoft ads and I say they're direct ripoffs of the Apple ads. You know, the click ad is just like, in fact, I was watching a football game a couple of weeks ago, and the iPod ad that they copied followed the Surface ad, and it was all the iPods morphing and dancing, and then they had Surfaces morphing and dancing. It's the same ad.
Mm.
Come on, get a better agency. That's why I'm impressed. I think Samsung has
not in there. You can't blame the agency. You got to blame the guys who sign off on this stuff.
Yeah.
You can. I can imagine them going to a really creative agency with some great material, and the guy says, "Nah, it's not for us." So
But I think you're right, Lou. I think the Samsung ad has had a huge impact on just people's conceptualization that there is a cool product out there and it doesn't have to have an Apple logo on it.
Yeah.
And you know, they're at the kicking ass. They're doing so well. Can I say that on your show?
I've pulled up the Microsoft Surface ad on YouTube, and there's an ad before the ad. It seems you really don't need an – I mean, I'm watching –
It doesn't seem like you need that.
Should you have an ad before an ad? Wait a minute, maybe I should do an ad, and then we could do the ad before the ad and then the ad. Would that be enough?
That'd be great. It's a 1, 2, 3.
It's like nothing but. I'll tell you what, we will take a break. But instead of doing an ad, why don't we find out from Tom Merritt, because I know something's coming up this week, big. What's in the week ahead, Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. On January 28th, the Future and Emerging Technologies Flagships Program winner will be announced in Europe.
Oh,
also on Monday, Yahoo has its earnings and the Glass Foundry event at Google.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, Amazon announces its earnings. Also, that's the last day you can get London's Wi-Fi for free. It goes to paid unless you have Virgin Media, Everything Everywhere, or Vodafone as your service in London. Wednesday, January 30th, Big Day, BlackBerry 10 launches. They have a big event in New York City. Also, Facebook has their earnings. Electronic Arts has their earnings. And Windows Phone 7.8 is reportedly supposed to arrive for Lumia 900 owners on AT&T.
Wow.
Thursday, January 31st, Macworld iWorld kicks off. Also, Netflix's House of Cards premieres. That's their original series produced by Dana Brunetti, among others. And the first annual Objectify a Male Tech Writer Day is that day as well. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to the lovely and talented Leo Laporte.
That's a government holiday, isn't it?
Objectify. I think we should do that every day. Objectify.
Yeah, what were you looking at?
It's a long story. Chad knows what was going on. Chad was there.
I was there.
He was there. So are you excited? BlackBerry 10, is it the resurgence of RIM? Is RIM back, baby? I ask the panel.
No.
Okay.
No.
Come on!
It's probably going to be really cool, but it'll just make it a more attractive target for Lenovo.
Lenovo's going to buy RIM?
There were some rumors that they were talking to them, but I think the larger story is that I think RIM may be getting close to becoming it. This is their last chance to really do something huge. If it doesn't work, they're going to be an acquisition target.
I like what I've seen of BlackBerry 10, the videos that I've seen. It looks like a fast, responsive operating system, excellent multitasking because it's based on QNX, which is, you know, a good real-time OS. They've got 19,000 apps, they said. They're paying developers to port their apps over, and they've had some success with that. It looks like a nice phone. There's going to be two versions, a touch screen, and there'll be a real BlackBerry-style keyboard phone. I want RIM to do well. I'm excited by it. I guess I'm wrong.
Why?
I'd like to see competition. Like you, Larry, that BlackBerry Curve, my last smartphone before I bought an iPhone, really was a fave. I just think it would be nice to have that competition.
I had a BlackBerry Pearl before the before the iPhone.
Me too. Yeah.
It's great. I loved it.
Can you get a shot of this? Is my bag of recycled phones, and I think there's a BlackBerry in here somewhere.
Tell you about Gazelle.com, Larry. That's ridiculous.
Run the ad now.
Yeah, I wish I had it. That's a Pearl. That's a Pearl, yeah.
Yeah,
so fantastic.
More to see here.
I would love.
Your wife stays with you. That's great.
Isn't it a great? No, she's off watching Netflix. Isn't it a great kind of the great American story that down by adversity?
This is a Canadian company.
Oh, that's right. So there's no hope.
There are two issues I think that they need to worry about. They really screwed up the playbook. Supply chain issue.
Yeah. I mean,
they really
terrible.
Messed that up.
Yeah.
And so hopefully they got their act together there. And the other thing is their network. I mean, you know, they have an outage and it's just like a catastrophic disaster.
Yeah. Do people remember that?
It's happened several times. And I think, their whole model is just kind of a little behind the times, I think. It feels that way now.
I'm going to fight for this. Don't they have, because government and business still, in many cases, has not given up on BlackBerry, don't they have I agree it's their last chance, but don't they have a shot at winning those government contracts, winning those business contracts?
They can get upgrade markets. They're going to get some people who are going to upgrade from one RIM device to another, but I don't think too many Android and iPhone users are going to be switching over to BlackBerry anytime soon. I mean, it would take a miracle for that to happen.
Is it merely? But let's say the phone was good. Is it just too late?
Yeah, I think it's too late. I think they've lost.
People
momentum.
Have made their choice.
Yeah, and even if they do have 19,000 apps, that's a fraction of what Android and
quarter
and
of a million.
And they could be a lot of flashlights.
Yeah, it's easy to port flashlights. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just if it would have to be much,
why is the stock flying?
And how are they going to do
that? Because it's going to be good. BB10 is exciting.
Let's see what that stock has been doing.
It's going up.
Yeah, I know it's going up.
They went up a lot. You know who else went up a lot? Netflix stock.
Yeah.
That just shows you how stupid the market is.
That was a dead cat bounce, I think.
Yeah. But a $40 dead cat bounce?
I've seen worse. Let's see. Does anyone know what the RIM is? Is it just RIM?
No.
Research.
Don't search for RIM. I think you're going to get some.
I'm on a stock market.
Don't search for a job at RIM.
That's the problem.
This is RIMM.
RIMM.
Yeah, and it's 1754.
Oh, that's not. Well, it's better than it probably was.
It's been as high as about 150, and it became up from, what does this look like? I can't tell. what the 52 what high and low was.
Looks
like
it's much.
Doubled. Looks like it's doubled at least.
Yeah, there's some, you know, it probably.
Yeah, no, $6.22 to $18.32. It's a tripler. It's a three bagger.
It was a cheap stock, probably, and people thought, well, there's a chance.
Here's the big move right here. Check this out, like 50 cents to $160.
When did that happen?
If you'd have gotten in the rim in 2003 and gotten out in 2008, you'd be worth a fortune.
That's about, it was 2002 that I know what that is. That's when they started making phones because they were just a pager, remember, with a keyboard on it.
Right.
And I bet you that's when the first rim BlackBerry phones came out and everybody said, hey, this is
good. Well, people are waiting for them to do this because they did it in about 98. They ran it up from like 10 cents a share to about $20, which is another winner. And then they did it again. So people, I think, are just wishful thinking here.
So the question in my mind, will all of those government folks and those corporate people who now have BlackBerries, are they going to want to stay with it? Are they going to
upgrade? They love the BlackBerry.
You know, to stick in, you know, and I think there's a market there. I don't know how big a market there, but there's a market there. Whether that can sustain this company much longer, I have no idea. But I don't see much beyond that, frankly.
Speaking of Samsung ads, you saw the newest Samsung ad, which makes fun of RIM.
No, I didn't see that.
Yes, it's quite a... Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
What's the point?
Well...
Eating a dead horse.
It just shows you that Samsung is... it was the unicorn game. That Samsung is taking this unicorn apocalypse. Let me see if I can find the ad here. Yeah, that's not going to be it. Why is it so hard?
Galaxy S3, by the way.
Look at that. That's a great phone. Looks bigger than it really is.
What is that thing?
Well, here, I'll put it next to the iPhone 5.
Okay. It's just a...
What is it? Just what? You're just showing off you own a lot of phones?
No, I'm trying to...
He's stalling for me as I try to find this ad.
Okay, well, that's good.
I'm trying to fill time because Leo is futzing around with the computer.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So let's see. Here it is. Here's the Samsung mobile ad that makes fun. I'll show you the point where
can't
it makes fun.
This happened. You know what I mean?
Hey, the game got leaked.
No, this is a successor to that.
We're wrapping up our network security.
Yeah, this is the next one.
Yeah, as in we technically need to make sure every phone is at least up to the same security levels as a GS3 and Note.
This is Samsung push to show they're good for business. So it's a startup.
Got it.
Where'd you get that? I got it from Dave.
I don't know how they can claim that Android is secure,
when someone
though.
Tells you to keep something on the DL. What do you think that means?
Work securely.
They have that. What is that logo? Safe for Enterprise that they're using.
Oh.
Interesting.
It must be. Huh. Well, anyway. Do we have any other stories?
No, I want to show you. Please. I want to show you the. Well, all right. I guess I'll give up. But anyway, they make fun of the guy, the business guy who's doing sales, because he's wearing a suit and he has a BlackBerry.
Okay.
And he says, this is business. And the guy goes, what, the suit? And then there's a woman also suited, probably in the accounting office of this startup. You know, they're all young hipsters, and there's two people over 30, and they have BlackBerries. Mm-hmm. And this other woman has her iPhone, and this is for home, and this is for business. And the woman says, you know, you could just get one. Don't mess with my system. It's very funny. But I...
Yeah, I guess you had to be there.
Had to be there. I'm going to play this damn ad if it kills me. Here we go. This is it. Any minute now. Do you watch the Super Bowl for the football or for the ad?
I don't... The ads... We haven't had good ads for 10 years. It's been
bogus. Here it is.
Bogus.
That's the business guy. See the guy in the suit?
Okay.
Go ahead, Chad.
This is business.
What, the jacket?
Yeah, the partner's
he held it up a BlackBerry, you know?
All yeah. Set
up. And this is Samsung really pushing the fact that these are safe in business. AES 256-bit encryption.
Now we need to decide, did the unicorn start the apocalypse or are they trying to prevent it?
What about you? Are you going to consolidate your phones?
Oh, no. I have a system. This one is for work. This one is for home.
Right, but with the GS...
These people are ageist.
By the way, can I just point out something? Her iPhone. Yeah, notice what time it is on her iPhone. Scroll back a little bit there. Notice what time it is on her. This nice lady, right? She's in a suit. Yeah, she's got a system. Notice her iPhone. There's a little, I think this is a little, what they call it, an Easter egg in this one.
What about you? Are you going to consolidate your phone?
Keep going. There. What time is it?
420.
What time is it?
A dope reference.
It's a dope reference in this ad.
Wow.
Mm. Samsung is way hipper.
That means she must be a secret stoner. As anyone who would have two phones would
maybe,
be.
Maybe old people are the stoners, and we're sexting, and the young people today are straight, they're solid,
seems
they
unlikely.
Use Samsung devices.
Seems unlikely.
If you, we're going to take a break, come back with more. Mike Elgin, great to have you. What is it now, 5 in the morning? You've been up all night to do this?
3:21 a.m.
Is this your normal routine? You stay up this late, or?
No, but it's fun.
A lot of coffee.
Really appreciate it. Oh, we love Mike. It's always great to have you. It's past Larry's nap time, too. Larry.
That's true. It's true.
From larrysworld.com.
I have an iPhone. I must be old.
This is a little bit of a gray hair show. John C. Dvorak with us, Leo Laporte here. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Citrix, who do the best online meeting solution ever. In the wintertime, you know, it's tough to get together with the co-workers and colleagues to pitch to clients because, you know, it's tough to travel. People call in sick. We use Citrix GoToMeeting all the time. In fact, I tell my employees, do not come here sick. I don't want to get sick. We'll have that meeting, but we'll do a GoToMeeting. You can meet from an iPad. You can present from an iPad. Oh, my God, Larry, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm too relaxed.
I think
a comedy act he's doing over here.
Yeah. See, flaky webcam. You know,
what was it, standing on a pile of books and a cardboard box?
Actually, the pile of phones with holding it up.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
So it doesn't do well without the phone, but I'll get it right. So
this could make, see, if this were an online meeting with GoToMeeting, that would have been part of the fun with HD faces. You see the people, crystal clear video. You see their screens. You're showing them the PowerPoint. You're working together. You're training. You're collaborating. It is fast. It's easy. You can install it now with no help from IT. You don't have to punch holes in the firewall or anything. GoToMeeting.com. I'm just a big fan of this, and I know you will be too. And we use it for our meetings whenever possible. And whenever they make us use some other solution, you know, we got some team that wants to meet with us using some other product. We just whine. We whine, we moan, we groan. We say, can we?
What other product?
There are other products that do this, but nothing as good as this. And you can even present from an iPad, which I love. You could be sitting in the garden and presenting from an iPad. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use our offer code TWIT and you get 30 days free. If you've been looking for an online meeting solution, at least try GoToMeeting for 30 days. Oh, I do have a Gazelle ad. We're going to get Larry to bring out his basket of phones in a little bit. We're going to see how much money we can make him. So
Hey, Leo, the chat room pointed out that when you were pointing out that it was 420 on the woman's phone,
yeah,
it was 420 in Petaluma.
Oh my God!
Yes,
Dad. That means it's time to donate to the No Agenda Show.
You got a blunt?
It's time to light up.
Time to light up.
Do you have any bacon? Do you have any bacon flavored?
There.
Dope.
Try this.
I got some purple Kush. No, actually, the 420. The guys from Canberra Grammar got that. The 420 reference
universal.
Comes from Marin. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was Marina, Mount Tam High School.
Right, right, exactly.
They would go out at 4:20 in the afternoon
right,
and smoke around the fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It was 4:20, then it became synonymous with the code.
42% increase.
Another 420.
42.0. It's also the answer to the question about life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly. 42%. I may have one of those coins on me.
Increase. You have a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy coin?
No, a 42 no agenda coin.
No agenda too?
Yeah, we used 42 as one of our codes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow.
So number.
Great getting the plug in there at Dvorak. Excellent.
Supposedly,
without the apology.
According to Mr. Thompson, there will be a BlackBerry 10 ad during the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. That's what, $4 million for 30 seconds?
Seems like a waste of money.
Yikes. Netflix up 42% because they made money. This is the single biggest gain since Netflix went public more than 10 years ago, and it comes because the stock price went up because Netflix reported a profit.
I thought you were going to a commercial.
I just did it.
Oh,
were you not here
the
for
Gazelle
that?
Commercial.
Well, I don't want to do two in a row.
See why not.
Anyway.
Yeah, apparently, the Christmas holiday, the holiday season, everybody's getting tablets and TVs and devices for
and
watching
Netflix
content.
Accounts.
Right.
It's ruining
and
the internet.
Yeah. Yep. They're back.
Is there any hope? Is Netflix like BlackBerry, just like down and out? No hope?
No, I think Netflix is going to be around for a while.
That their first original series debuts this week, The House of Cards, which was produced by Kevin Spacey's Trigger Street. They bought the rights to a British version of the same show. It's about the House of Commons. They're going to make it about the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And debuts on Friday. And I talked to Dana Brunetti, and he said we were this close to a deal with a major network. I don't know if it's HBO, Showtime, what. Literally the night before we were going to go sign the deal, I got a call. And I said, no, we got the deal. And he said, you should talk to these guys. It was Netflix. He said they made us such a good offer. We literally turned our back.
So they screwed the networks to go to Netflix?
I don't know if they screwed it, but they said at the last minute, we're not going to do this deal. We've got a better offer. And I said, well, what did Netflix offer you? Was it money? He says, it was more control. It wasn't just the money. Then Netflix did make apparently a good offer. But the fact that we have more control. I think also Dana, who's very technically literate, was interested in the idea of, you know, how does Netflix come out with a new episode every week? How does this happen?
I don't know.
I guess it is going to be a new episode every week on Netflix. No, it's all at once. They're going to just dump it on give it all at once. Yeah. And well, the reason I know this is because of with Arrested Development. They're going to give them all
same
at
thing.
Once. So House of Cards may be different, but
that's weird because normally the way a show shoots is they shoot a few and then they start broadcasting them and they continue to shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if the thing dies, they can kill it without going broke shooting.
But now they're
going
to shoot all whatever episodes. Mm-hmm.
And with
maybe that's what Dana liked.
It may be a short.
But
season.
Dana might have said they bought seven episodes and they bought them outright or whatever it is.
And, you know, this isn't that their first original program. I watched a few of the Lillehammer programs.
But that was a joint venture with the Norwegian television. It was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It was pretty good, yeah. But, you know, for me, Netflix, what I love about it is I just discovered these old TV programs that I never even knew existed when they were on the air. And I watch, you know, all 120 episodes.
Well, that's to me what I think. You really have seen a complete change in how people consume television.
That's right.
I
get very impatient when I have to watch
show weekly.
And actually wait a week.
Yeah.
Right.
I think increasingly, and I bet you this is one of the things Dana was sensitive to, people don't watch a show week by week. They wait till the whole season's done and they consume it all in one big gulp. That's
and
how
shows
I watch
like
Homeland.
They do six episodes and then you wait 4 years
I know.
For the next season. And by that time, it's the 70s already. I mean, it's horrible.
My wife
by the
and
way,
I are on episode 35 of Alias, and there's another almost 100 left to go. So we have a ton of Alias ahead of us.
Yeah.
By the way, House of Cards stars Kevin Spacey, which is kind of a.
Well, it's his company. Trigger Street is Kevin Spacey's production company.
So that's I think going to be that's a really interesting curveball because usually this kind of experimental deal has no name people. This is a guy who I don't think he's ever been on a TV series of
that's
any kind.
That's a good point. You're right. It's his first TV.
No, that's
show.
Not true.
Movie star.
What was he it? Played Mel Prophet in the TV series Wise Guy.
You just never came heard. Right out of the top of your head. That came right out of you.
Yeah.
Wow, did you used to also be a TV writer? Mel Prophet and Wise Guy. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I do think that I agree with you that Netflix has a shot. I mean, it's $8 a month. But the problem they have to face, and I think it's one of the reasons it's really important that they're doing these original programming, is the perception that, it's $8 a month, but nothing you want to see is on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That you know, certainly no first-run movies are on it. It's good if you find an old TV show you've never seen.
I watch it a lot. I have HBO and Showtime, and I probably watch Netflix three times more than I watch either of those channels.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's just a ton of stuff, old stuff, that I want to see, whereas with HBO and Showtime, it pretty much has to be one of their current offerings.
I think when I first started watching Netflix streaming and I got rid of this DVD, and that was about 2 years ago, I watched a lot of it.
Got rid of a DVD.
I got rid of the Netflix DVD by mail and just started doing streaming only.
Right.
I watched a ton of it, and then I felt like I'd seen everything that I wanted to see, and the rest of it was stuff I didn't want to see.
That's good stuff. And there's Vice Magazine specials. I want to go to Korea is quite good.
They've got upcoming some big deals. I mean, they've made some big deals with movie content companies. I don't know.
Disney.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
By the way, J.J. Abrams, Star Wars Episode 7.
And Star Trek.
Hell yes.
Yeah, both.
Yeah. Now, he's going to own that whole genre of both sides of it.
He owns the geek mindset.
Yes, exactly.
He will control us.
And he's the one who does Alias, the show I've been in the middle
and
of watching.
And Fringe.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Which you have been telling me to watch.
Fringe was great. It's over now.
Is it all over?
Yeah, it's done.
Don't tell me. I'm just beginning.
It was all a dream.
That wasn't the ending, but it was
close to that.
No,
J.J. Abrams is not notorious for good endings.
But
Lost,
you want to watch?
Hell?
You want to watch the J.J. Abrams when he teams up with Nolan to do Persons of Interest is the best show on television.
Christopher
right now.
Nolan.
Yep.
Or is his brother? One of the two.
It's his brother.
Well, I just think
Persons of Interest is the show to watch.
I know you've said this before. For people who were worried that Disney buying Star Wars was a bad sign, I think this is, to me, this seems good.
Yeah.
I want to see Fincher. I want to see Nolan. I want to see other directors.
He was a Star Wars geek before he ever saw Star Trek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He never knew Star Trek.
I liked what he did with Star Trek. I thought the reboot was very interesting.
Yeah.
Person of interest is Jonathan Nolan, brother of...
Brother.
Right, the brother.
Right. And I agree with John. That is a really good show, especially for geeks. It's really a cell phone show.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It will be eventually.
Super 8, not great. I agree. Hey, you know, we had a great...
Super 8 was done so he could kiss Spielberg's butt enough to be now locked in his brothers in arms.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, now they're best friends.
Now they're buddies. It's good, though. I'm glad J.J. Abrams didn't do Lincoln.
No, here's what somebody just suggested about doing Star Wars directed by Tarantino. I think Lincoln with Tarantino, you'd have something.
Yeah. Well, that was the vampire killer version. Right. We're going to take a break. Show me that basket of phones, Larry Maggot. Is it still holding up your monitor?
No, it's here.
I want to show you what you can do. Give me a... Pull out a good one. Gazelle.com. You can actually sell your Blackberries on Gazelle.
They'll even give you $5 for the basket.
And the basket even. And they'll wipe the data from the basket.
Make some money from all that.
You can. Gazelle.com is where you go to recycle, to sell your iPhones, your cell phones, your iPad, your iPod, your MacBook. Let's say you have an iPad fourth generation or third generation. You want to get the fourth generation. This is a very common thing because it was only 6 months apart. I feel kind of $365 for the old one.
Wow.
Yeah. Look at that. Now,
I actually made a profit when I upgraded to the iPhone 5 because I sold my iPhone 4S for more than I paid for my iPhone 5.
See, that's cool.
And you can do that if you do it right at the beginning of the cycle.
This is a very good point. Gazelle gives you 30 days to take advantage of the quote. So that quote is locked in for 30 days. So get it now. Because nothing's going up in value, and decide later. You're upgrading to a new MacBook, or you think maybe Apple will have some announcements, as many say. Get a price now on the old one so that you can then, 30 days from now, get the new MacBook, transfer the data over, and then send it to them. They'll pay the shipping. In fact, they send you a box with the postage paid box on anything worth more than a buck. Then they'll send you a check, PayPal, or an Amazon gift card. And they bump the value of the Amazon gift card by 5% over their quote, which I think is nice. I guess that's rebating. I don't know what it is. It's rebating their affiliate fee, I guess. I don't know. Android, BlackBerry, iPhone, iPad, other Apple products all have value. Get rid of them now before they lose that value at gazelle.com. They've paid over $50 million to 500,000 customers. It's a good company.
You know, 4S is still worth $205.
See?
In good shape.
And that's
16 gigabyte.
And
which is $6 more than a 5 would cost you.
Exactly. You make them. It's a profit thing.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
If you missed this week on Twitter, you missed some really good stuff. Why don't we do a house ad, John, and take a look?
What's a house ad?
You'll see right now.
This is Twit, all about Android.
QM Launcher is the most crazy, unique 3D launcher I've ever seen.
iPad today.
I don't get it, Chad.
This is Vine. I'm demonstrating Vine.
What do you mean, Leo? This is great.
Yeah, I
missed
that.
Windows Weekly.
It's either that or like strap on, holsters for
no, I'm more interested in strapping on, Leo.
Oh boy. Hey-o.
i5 for the iPhone.
And it will take a as it rotates 360 degrees by itself. How, you ask?
The phone rotates.
By vibration.
The social hour.
Everyone who's waiting for the next big technical thing before they take a leap has already missed the last 20 opportunities. This is the future right this minute.
Twit. Hey, G4. Ha, 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 ha.
That just seemed like a bunch of self-promotion.
That's what we call a house ad.
Huh. Yeah.
Did you see that cyclone? That is so wild. Chad, do you have an iPhone with that on there? Because I want to show people.
No, Android.
We're all Android here. Nobody has iPhones. Does he have Cyclonic on it or whatever it is? So the thing uses the vibrator.
Yeah,
in the phone
to move it around.
Why don't you take a picture, sir? I think it'll work on this table. Go ahead and set it up, and you can just walk right over here and put it there. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how they even thought
somebody
of this.
Probably was fooling around, and they started the thing. The phone was ringing.
How would you get the vibrator? Cycloramic. Yeah, no, it's smooth enough, I think. So he's going to press go. Hold still. Now nobody move. It makes the phone with the vibrator. Rotate.
That's incredible.
I don't know. That's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
No, I'm telling you how it happened. Some geeks had the phone sitting down and it started ringing and moving. And they said, hey, wait a minute. I got a product idea.
No.
But they made it do it in a perfect circle.
There's no
That's an
way.
Amazing algorithm.
It's amazing.
It's obviously unbalanced, so it does this on purpose.
No, but I think the buzzer. Yeah. Okay, does it keep going forever?
It's going and going. It didn't like what it saw the first time.
Now with VibroSpin. It's what it is, I think, is that the vibration doohickey has two sides, right? So they go side one, side two, side one, side two, or something like that.
And you think it's just doing it on one side like an army tank where
Either
you just have one track going.
Or it's the devil's work.
So who says there isn't a big breakthrough?
Let it go see how long. I think this thing's gone berserk. Yeah. It's going around and around and around.
Isn't that funny? Normally it stops. We tried it before and it stopped after 360 degrees. And it makes a video? Is that what you're going to get? A video.
This is going to be a long video.
Okay. Go ahead. You can stop it.
It's got the CIA version.
What's your name? Mike, where are you from?
Windsor, Canada.
Windsor, Canada. Windsor. Very nice to meet you. Thank you for coming.
Nice little town.
I'm glad he had Cyclonic installed. Isn't that great?
It's right across from Detroit.
Windsor.
Yeah.
It's just a tunnel.
Yeah.
You just drive right there.
You go over there, and then you can buy your drugs, and you can drive back.
And by drugs, you mean like Viagra?
No, actually, aspirin and codeine.
Aspirin and codeine. Good price in Canada, huh?
It's the Canadian headache remedy.
Oh, together?
Yeah, it's a little pill with aspirin and codeine and a little caffeine in there, and it's a very small amount of codeine.
Is that Vicodin? It's called Vicodin.
No. This is good stuff. They've been trying to keep Americans from coming over there and buying it by the boatload.
Really?
But they have no effect.
Wow.
It's better than aspirin, let's just put it that way.
Did you see that Psy's Gangnam Style, the YouTube video only, according to Google, this is Google had their annual, their quarterly report, rather. By the way, they did well. They were up, the revenue was up 36%, $14.42 billion. Net income up to $2.89 billion in the quarter. That's about $1 billion a month. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good money.
They're making money. They're making tons of money.
But among other things, they said that Psy's Oppo Gangnam Style, which has now almost 1.3 billion views, earned him $8 million in ads and his record company. $8 million. Wow. That's aside from anything else. $8 million.
I don't think the interesting thing about this is that he waived his copyright on the video.
I love that.
So everybody could copy it, parody it, and that's what made it famous. Everybody was jumping in and using it for any purpose they wanted to, and that made him famous. It made the video famous, and then he went on and did $1 million in YouTube advertising. He did a whole bunch of different things that are associated with the fame around that viral video. So it's really an interesting model. I mean, and this is you have to realize that in Korea, these pop stars don't make any money because of the piracy. So this is like huge money for anybody in the Korean, you know, who sings in the Korean language. It's an incredible story.
Yeah. And it's just one more data point that if you don't hold on so tightly, you do better than if you're paranoid and think everybody's stealing from you.
Yeah. So go to becomeviral.com.
Is this going to tell me how?
Well, this is one of the cheap tricks that They were used by, I think, Kony and those other guys.
You deserve viral success. Increase your YouTube popularity. Watch the video below to learn how to get thousands of... Chad, you've why didn't you tell me about this?
Your YouTube videos aren't getting any views.
Right.
But stop worrying, because we have the answer. Introducing BecomeViral.com, the best way online to send real traffic and attain undeniable results.
What do you mean, you buy views?
Imagine 10,000 to 20,000
bots
being sent to your videos every single month. That's the equivalent of spending every hour of your day promoting
how
your
much?
Video to 40 different people.
This guy sounds trustworthy.
All actively watching. Sponsors, record companies,
$7,
and talent
agents
bucks. All search for hidden potential on YouTube.
Yeah, hidden potential. Once you sign up for our service, you'll receive access to your own custom members panel. Our basic package allows you to add two of your videos. Simply enter the link to your videos into your new dashboard. We'll start prompting them. We use safe and organic methods to get real people to watch each of your videos. And $7.49 to get started.
Yeah.
Well, didn't YouTube recently pull a lot of views? Like
they should have pulled those Kony 2012 views. Those were fake, if anything was. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I just thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Well, Chad, let's call these guys and maybe we can do something.
I already hit the get started button.
I was thinking they'd be a good advertiser.
After signing up for a 30-day trial, which costs $7.49, you'll be given access to the members panel. Oh,
wait, the trial costs $8?
Yeah. And you don't get access to the members panel, which is the thing you want. $24 a month
keeps
is the
going
actual
up.
Cost.
That's a little high.
We have networked with thousands of high-traffic websites that were willing to redirect their traffic to your videos. Wow, I'm surprised YouTube hasn't shut this guy down. Or Google, right? Google, don't they have some cloud in the internet business?
It's hard to catch some of these.
So Dell wants to go private.
And by the way, why didn't they shut down the Kony 2012 thing?
Well, you have a thing for Kony 2012.
Yeah, because it was because of the numbers. We were sitting there watching, and it went million views a minute. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And what bugged me the most was that everyone was buying into that. That people were actually viewing this video. And I couldn't find anyone who ever watched the whole thing.
I think young people believe. They're wide-eyed optimists. And while they're using Snapchat, they're also doing things for the good of others.
None of these kids are very wide-eyed.
They're half asleep. Are you kidding?
We're an
hour and a half in. They're exhausted. But my kids, no.
Why am I
Henry
here?
Henry said, have you seen Kony? You got to see Kony. You got to see Kony. Yeah.
That's because
they were
attracted to that huge number.
Nah, well, I don't know. So Dell wants to go private. Why?
They're sick of... Well, I know one reason. Dell has been telling his story for a couple of years now, but they're not a personal computer company, and they're trying to be
services.
And he's been going on and on about this for, like, literally years, and everybody says Dell, the PC company.
Right.
Nobody is paying attention. He's given up.
So the rumor is that Microsoft is in talks to spend $1 to $3 billion... Take a stake in Dell.
Yeah, they went 20%.
Which would then make Microsoft... No, they're already making Surface. In fact, Surface Windows Pro version of Surface comes out February 9th. They're already making PCs. Now they would be an OEM.
I think they should be. I think my theory is always that Microsoft's whole future is stores. So they have to have branded crap in the stores. So this is perfect. They can take a Dell computer, put the Microsoft label on it.
Yep.
It would be a reference design. And they sell it in the store. And then people would go into the Microsoft store like they do an Apple store. And they'd buy computers.
Another
I
interesting.
I think Microsoft's investment into Facebook has been very good for Microsoft.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at the social graph, exactly. And so I think they want to do that again. I think they should just buy Dell if they can and just become, you know, like Google, compete with
you. They can afford it.
They could, but I think what they're going to get with 20% is exactly what they want. If Dell wants to be a services company, maybe Dell lets Microsoft co-brand the hardware since that's not their core business. And more importantly, and this is Paul Thurrott suggested this, I think he's right, Microsoft could say, and now Dell, can you make a crapware-free computer? Microsoft's had a hard time getting anybody to take these signature PCs seriously, and I think that Microsoft quite rightly thinks this is important.
It's a very good. That's actually
take
I like
those
that.
Stickers off the laptop too.
Yeah, let's just make start giving users a quality experience. Maybe they'll like this stuff better.
Yeah, instead of all the garbage they put on those things.
You know, it was I think it was 20 years ago. Bill Gates was talking about admitting that Apple actually had a superior product. And acknowledging the fact that Apple could control the operating system and the hardware, and that that enabled them to come out with a better product in many ways. And I think that for Microsoft to be able to have that full experience and really control it, in a sense controlling their own destiny, would make sense. The only problem is it's gonna really upset their partners. And I don't know what that means for Hewlett Packard and Lenovo and Asus and all the other companies out there that are supporting Windows. But
so what do you think, Larry? So what do you think they're gonna do? They're gonna say, screw you, Microsoft, we're gonna go all Linux? They're in a corner. They can bitch, but they can't do anything about it.
And I also think that even despite the Surface Pro coming out, there's still going to be plenty of opportunity for companies to come out with better products that do what the Surface Pro purports to do. And I think that there could be an ecosystem where Microsoft's a major player. And I think it's a smart move for them at this point.
I agree. I think this is what Microsoft should do. They need to.
Yep.
They need to. So I don't know whether to credit this or not. It's the only publication that's had this story, Talking Points, a memo. I haven't seen a denial from any of the companies, but I just want to give you this grain of salt. According to TPM, Instagram, with some accounts, is asking for government ID to verify your account.
Is this the Onion you're reading?
No, it does. No, doesn't no, it sound
it
like
not
it?
The Onion.
CNET first reported this on Tuesday. We know how trustworthy CNET is. over the past week, a number of users of Instagram and of Facebook have been locked out of their accounts and prompted by both services to upload images of government-issued photo ID to regain access. Confirm your identity.
I think it's legit, for starters.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. There are some accounts they can just close because they're clearly fraudulent. There are other accounts that are clearly not fraudulent. And I think all the gray area accounts, they're trying to get a real verification on the ID on those accounts to make sure they're who they say they are.
Okay, let me throw something in here. So I take my driver's license or whatever, and I just put somebody else's photo on there, and I create
Photoshop makes this trivial.
It makes it trivial to send a phony ID, and they're not going to look at my number or anything.
They say things like it has to be in color because we don't want you to Xerox an ID.
I mean,
but there
please.
Is Photoshop. I think Photoshop's in color now.
Yeah, I've heard that.
With McLovin, that's my name.
Yeah. Well, I actually, when I saw this, you know what my initial reaction was? Oh, please ask me for an ID, please, because I would love an excuse to kill my account. Because there's no way I would say, oh, yeah, here's my driver's license, Facebook.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
No way. They still have yet to ask me. So, Facebook, please ask me for identification. I dare you.
But this taps into the real problem with the whole using social networks as identity. Google wants to do it. Facebook wants to do it. But how do you do it? You can't really do it. It's pretty easy to have a fake identity on social networks, and there's nothing they can do about it.
All right. And there's also the age issue of having to be over 13, certainly on Facebook. And right now there's no verifiable way to know if a person's lying about their age.
They could even say this is we have to do this because of COPPA. We have to ask for ID to prove your age. We don't want – they even say blackout personal information. But I mean, you can't black it all out, or they wouldn't know your age,
right? But there is definitely some pressure to have authentication, and there's a number of companies that are working on it, and there's a lot of problems with it. We don't have a good way in the United States to verify age. It's certainly for people. We can verify that you're an adult based on your credit history. We can't verify that you're a child, and it's really difficult to prove somebody's between 13 and 18.
That's fine. I don't think we need to prove anything. I don't think we need any. I don't want national identity cards. This is just a bad idea.
I agree.
Yeah. Speaking of bad ideas, now we're finding out that CBS has told CNET, not only can you no longer review Dish because we're in litigation, you can't review Aereo either because we're in litigation with them.
I don't find this to be a big deal.
I do. CBS says CNET has 100% editorial independence. We talked about this last week.
Apparently not.
How is this 100% editorial independence, and how is this okay, John?
Well, I discussed this on some other, I think with Horowitz. Or no, I was maybe on NoAgenda.com. Show.com, sorry. Anyway, Here's the deal. I'm an editor, let's say, at CNET, and somebody come. I think they dropped the ball. I think CNET shouldn't have run the
story. Mike Arrington said everybody at CNET should quit. If they don't, they're not journalists.
Well, he's a journalist.
Yeah, I know. I liked it.
So anyway, you have your staff, and somebody throws this thing through. Nobody caught this thing, and they ran it. And so then CBS freaked out, and then they handle it poorly. But generally speaking, the editor would go up to a writer and say, look, here's the deal. We're in our company, the ones who pay your salary, are in litigation. And you can run this piece, but you're going to be deposed, and you're going to have to testify against the company you work for. And this could drag on for years, and it could really tie you up. Do you really want to do that? And then,
he stops writing.
No, the writer can say, well, no, it's probably not a great idea. I'll go write about something else. I mean, there's ways of stopping this without it looking like.
So does this kind of thing routinely happen?
Yes,
like
it does.
Here's the way. Really?
Yeah, and it's all unwritten. It's the editor's job.
The mistake they made was making this such a big deal out of it.
The way it usually works is, the guy, I'm an editor at some publication.
I'm so glad I don't work for these.
My bosses have never told me what to write. They have never called to do anything. But meanwhile,
I didn't have to tell you.
That they don't, I get the job because they don't have to tell me. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to, if I'm working for Disney, I'm not going to write an expose on the hiring practices of Disney World. It's just not going to happen. I mean, because I'm working for Disney as an editor.
Right.
This is these large corporations that own the media are dominated.
Do something very stupid when they voted for Hopper to be the best of CES? They should have known better.
Somebody was naive, yes.
They should have known better. They were naive.
Yes. Somebody dropped the ball.
Wow.
Or they weren't thinking.
That's so depressing.
You go, well, that is a great product. Did you guys know that it's a litigation situation with your company, with the parent company?
Les isn't happy about this.
Well, the CBS, the whole thing is blown out of proportion, but believe me.
Well, what's interesting is that now, Larry, you work for CBS.
Yeah. I want to continue to work for CBS after the show is off the air.
There
is a tradition at CBS for the company to...
The Tiffany freaking network!
Within CBS News, you cover what you cover. And I am not aware. I have never been contacted by anybody telling me what to cover and what not to cover. I've covered Dish products. I find this whole thing... a bit embarrassing, and I probably ought not to say any more, but...
Self-censorship, ladies and gentlemen, right in front of us.
But nobody ever came to you and said, do not talk about Hopper.
Nobody's ever come to me and said not to talk about CBS. I mean, I would disclose, but as far as I know, we treat everything based on our news judgment. That's what I've been told. That's how I operate, and I was as surprised as anybody when I heard this story.
Mike, you've been an editor. You've had these conversations
many times. This happens at the editorial level. The guys at the top of the masthead who are dealing with the publishers who are worried about sales, advertising sales, and all that kind of stuff happens all the time. When I was at Windows Magazine, one of the things that pissed me off, and it shows you how petty some of these demands can be. We had an art guy who was a genius illustrator, and he did an exact duplicate of a Mad Magazine spread. Remember those Mad Magazine things where they would make fun of a movie, and they'd do the whole thing, and they'd make fun of everybody's, change everybody's name and all that stuff? He did that whole thing for the whole industry. He had Bill Gates and,
Oh, it sounds great.
It was hilarious. It was called Whichever Way the Wind Blows Magazine, and he, did this whole thing. He sended up the entire industry, and... The publisher pulled that thing and said, we can't make fun of Bill Gates and all these. These are our advertisers. These are the people who own the companies that advertise in our magazine, and forced us to pull it. And, that's one example out of many where this stuff happens behind the scenes. And like John said, you're never supposed to hear about this stuff. And it's wrong and it shouldn't happen. But this is how it, in fact, does happen. And most of the editorial staff, and definitely not the writers, ever even find out about it. It's not something.
Remember when Harry McCracken quit? He quit PC World for a while, and then he came back, and I can't remember the detail. It had something to do with an Apple, was listing something about Apple, and he wound up leaving the organization. So you're right. It absolutely does happen. It certainly has happened in computer magazines.
Yep.
In trade magazines, it happens more. I mean, it happens in all publications. But generally speaking, you have that editorial layer that knows what they're doing, and they prevent this from getting out to the public.
So really what happened was that the editors at CNET mishandled this.
I think they didn't. I think I looked for to try to figure out who to blame looking at the masthead. I don't think there was a – I think their editorial structure stinks. They don't have, like, an editor. They got all these little sub-editors and this kind of editor and that kind of editor. There's no editor-in-chief that I know of. And I just don't. I just think that the structure of the of CNET is flawed, and that's how this happened in the first place. I know. I think it's just something wrong with it. Anyway, that's my
opinion. So far, no one has ever come to me at Twit and told me not to cover something.
This is the reason, by the way, you are working at Twit.
This is exactly why, because I don't want to ever be put in that position.
Right, and that's one of the reasons we do the noagendashow.com, because we have no advertisers. We don't have anybody to tell us to do anything, and we do what we want to. It's a big difference. But if I'm working for CBS, I am working for CBS.
But it never came up. But I guess you're right. There's this kind of understanding. I mean,
it's
an
understanding.
I never got in a situation where at Tech TV or at CD where I felt like, gee, I'd love to talk about that, but it wouldn't be prudent or politic.
I think you did.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me think. What would be?
Yeah, I think you did. Because I know why every once in a while, we can't cover that. It's just not. It's not right. It's gonna. They're not gonna like it. I mean,
I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. We hacked the Xbox, and there was a lot of concern because we showed how to hack an Xbox, and there's a lot of concern that this was going to be a problem. That we, Microsoft was. I don't know if we were in bed with Microsoft or not, but I made the editorial decision. Of course, we're going to do it. They did, of course, contact lawyers, and they asked them, are we going to get in trouble for doing this? But we did. I think that all it ever came down to was that we had to do a disclaimer. But there was never nobody. I was really impressed with the editorial folks at Tech TV that they never said, don't do that. They didn't. And it was a risky thing to do.
Well, that's one.
Again, I've never, but in over 10 years with CBS, nobody's ever told me not to cover anything. So I can only speak from my own experience.
Why don't you cover the story about CNET and CBS having this beef and the hopper? I think it'd be very interesting. I want to hear about
that,
Larry.
You're right. There are some things that would just be impolitic. anyway, but that is why I like being in independent media, because I don't feel like, and I'm sure it's why you like No Agenda, I don't feel like, and I, if we wanted to lambaste our advertisers, we would. We might lose an advertiser, but it's not the end of the world.
It used to be the other way around. During the early days in the 20s and 30s, it was the publications that harassed the advertisers until they coughed up money and started advertising. Seriously.
I have to try that. That's a good idea.
So I don't know what's wrong with
this company.
If you'd
like a good story about your company.
If you want to hear nothing but bad news about your company, don't advertise.
Yeah.
That's what the Hearst papers used to do.
And as somebody in the chat room pointed out, maybe Tech TV did have a good editorial policy, but by the way, they're dead.
Yeah. They couldn't get anyone to advertise anyway.
They couldn't get anybody.
Of course, it would help if the salespeople that were at Tech TV actually watched some of these shows.
Oh, I know.
Ladies
and gentlemen, I think this concludes this portion of the show. Mm-hmm. Any other stories you would like to talk about?
I'm good.
Get the taste of CBS out of your mouth.
Did you read my thing on Kaepernick and the a new domain, .com,
no,
or .net.
You wrote, you're a football fan.
I wrote a long
article.
You
like college football. You like the quarterback option? You think that that's the future of the NBA?
Read option.
The read option?
I run out of a pistol, I think, is a fantastic product.
Yeah.
In fact, what's his name? John Gruden they were shredding.
They were.
Nevada shreds Berkeley. They beat them a couple times. And they're not even in a decent
league. I bought a book called Football for Dummies. It exists.
Why would you get that book?
Because I have to study, because I'm going to watch a game.
I thought you were already going to. You know something about football.
I know nothing.
Well, you're going to see a great game, because this is going to be a great game.
I think it's a good matchup.
No, the Niners should kill these guys.
55-10.
That's the score from the 49ers versus the Denver
you're
Broncos.
Good. You remember that. That's a good memory.
That was the biggest lopsided victory ever.
It was very
ever.
Lopsided, and I think we're
I watched that game, and I was just laughing the whole time. It's hilarious.
All right, 42-0.
No.
No, that's not
it's
possible.
Probably going to be. Their odds are 3 points, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be 4-20.
Four. What, the one team's going to get two safeties?
We better end this show before it is actually 4:20 in Nairobi. Thank you so much for staying up so late, and it's just always a pleasure, Mike Elgin, to have you on. People should read Mike at Google Plus and Computer World and other locations, but just, you know, Mike Elgin on Google Plus. That's the place.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for being here, Mike. Thank you, Larry Maggot. Always a pleasure having you on. You can hear him on CBS Radio, where he speaks his mind regardless. Yep. Regardless, you can count on that. Larry'sWorld.com, at Larry Maggot on the Twitter.
Good to see you guys.
It's great to see you. 11-0 is a skunk. That's two safeties and a touchdown. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd like to see a score like that. You could do it, but you know.
A field goal and an extra point. Mr. John C. Dvorak, noagendashow.com, channeldvorak.com, vodkabacon.com. Thank you.
You got most of them.
I got them.
You got the good ones.
All of the good ones. Thank you for being here. Thank you all for joining us. We do tweet in on a Sunday afternoon. And, you know, if you're visiting from a foreign land and you'd like to come, bring the whole class. It's great to have them, the folks from Canberra Grammar. When I asked him, he said it, Canberra Grammar, because it's Canberra. You don't say the syllables. Like Melbourne is Melbourne.
Melbourne. Yeah.
So it's Brisbane. Great to have Brisbane. Yeah. It's great to have you. Great to anybody else from outside the country besides Australia?
Yeah, North Carolina.
North Carolina, that's close. Yeah, with a vibrating phone.
Seem outside the country to me.
It's great to have y'all. We do this show 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons, Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 3 plus 12 is 15 plus 8 is 1 in the morning, UTC.
Huh.
If you want to watch live, stay up late. And join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. Otherwise, we have on-demand versions available after the fact. There's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/... What is it for Twit?
This Week in Tech.
youtube.com/thisweekintech. If you go to youtube.com/twit, you'll get information and promos about the whole network. And on the right-hand side, there are links to all of the shows. And I'm glad they got that thumbnail there. And I don't know what I'm doing. All of the shows are on the right-hand side there, and you can subscribe. We did that intentionally so that you could subscribe on YouTube to individual shows instead of getting every show on a single channel. Debatable whether that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Twit.tv. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can. Go to bed now. It's okay.
This is amazing.